Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. With the Lord's help, we'll conclude a message I've been sharing, Discipled for Christ. The first principle that I shared, if we are going to be faithful men and women of God, is a desire for God's Word. And here are some examples of this hunger for God's Word. We are to read the Word not as a duty or obligation, but because it is our life, it is our instruction. It's a fire in our spirits that can't be put out. And also to memorize the Word, to spend time in studying the Word. God will give us, as we ask Him, a desire not only to love the Word and read the Word, but to understand the Word. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to open up the revelation of Scripture and the revelation of Jesus to us. And without this faithfulness in the Word, you can't really be a fruitful Christian. And another principle in discipleship is people should long to know God better. That should be your primary aim, to desire to know Him better, and a hunger in our spirits for our relationship to God should be second to nothing else. Remember, Jesus said, if you love father, mother, lands, homes, whatever, anything more than me, you're not worthy of me. David said, in Psalm 42, 1 through 2, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And that example of an animal in the wild who is thirsty and absolutely in need of water, that he was describing, that's how his own soul felt in terms of thirsting for God. And then a third principle I'd like to share to reach our full potential as a disciple of Christ is a commitment to the Lordship of Jesus, that He is Lord. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. People will readily acknowledge that, but how they live that out in their life is really telling. And so there's two aspects to this principle. One, a person must be willing to be obedient in everything that God commands is in His written word. Not that we're going to have a perfect walk, but that's our desire. Our heart can be perfect. If you do a study on perfection, there's no one in the Word of God except Jesus who was perfect in attitude, in thought, and in action. But our hearts can be perfect in terms of we are seeking God and we want to please Him. And so we must be willing to be obedient to everything that God declares to us in His Word. And then, you know, if God confirms what the Word says through a valid ministry, we can rejoice in it. And in obeying what God's Word said, we don't pick and choose what we want to obey, but we endeavor and determine to give ourselves to become obedient in every area of our lives. And allowing God, this is another principle, to lead us into His perfect will. And this involves all of our decision-making. So often, you know, we just think we're fulfilling our spiritual duty. We go to church, we pay tithes, we pray. But to place God first, to seek Him in the everyday decisions of your life, from ministry, the things He's having you to do, to everyday decisions that we face. And as we proceed in our pursuit of true discipleship, we're going to see God bring us into our full potential as children of God. And we have to be willing to do and be whatever God wants. Sometimes we can get so heavenly minded we're no earthly good. But God not only works in the supernatural, but His workings, His commands are also spiritually practical. He's a realistic God, and He works within this time frame that we exist and live in. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul and with all of thy mind." That's Matthew 22 and 37. And the Apostle Paul teaches us that we're not to act according to the vain philosophies of this world. Man thinks, you know, we don't need God anymore. We've got science, we've got technology, and there's nothing but, you know, the sky's the limit. But we are so limited when their minds are darkened. They do not understand. Unless someone is saved, they're spiritually dead. And we're not to act according to this world. And that includes the selfish, oriented thoughts that motivated most people today. And we look around us at society. I mean, for those of you who are up in years, goodness, how society has changed in the last 50 years, even less than that, how children are rebellious. I mean, Paul is very clear. He said, "In the last days, perilous times shall come," and he described perfectly the kinds of things that we're seeing today. And we know that we're in the end times, and so the light is growing lighter, and the darkness is growing deeper and darker. Our prisons are filled to overflowing, and we need to see a revival in this nation, a revival around the world. That's the only thing that is going to change society. Now, I realize we're going to have the word is going to be fulfilled. We cannot pray away the Antichrist. He is coming. But while we're here, we can redeem the time. Romans 12 and 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adopted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you." Hallelujah. Let me share 1 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. And Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he says, "I exhort therefore," and he's speaking to all of us, "that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Listen to verse 4. "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should receive salvation. He has given man free will, and in this lifetime we have, I don't believe there's before death, before a final breath is drawn, I believe God is merciful, and He gives everyone, regardless of how limited their understanding, an opportunity to say yes to the Lord. And then in closing, the fourth principle in becoming a disciple of Christ is a hunger and desire and burden in our hearts to see God's word preached to the world. This is basically the Great Commission. Jesus said, "Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, of all people." We should ask God to give us a heart for the unsaved, a heart for people. And if we have no heart for the world, we rarely will do what it requires to be a disciple of Christ. To be truly effective, one must have a heartfelt burden for the salvation of others. Think of how your life has been transformed because of Jesus. Well, God wants to do that in their lives, and He wants to commit to their spiritual growth just as He's committed to ours. Let me share 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 7 through 8. This was Paul's response. "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." Praise God. Beloved, there certainly are doctrinal truths we must learn. There are ministry skills we need to gain. But along with these, there is the obedient application of the Word of God to our lives in order to be a disciple. That's what God's desire is for us. We share our lives with others. That's what fellowship is all about. And you don't need a course, you don't have to have training, but just let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let's close in prayer. Father, you see everyone, every listener, and Lord, you know you've placed every person in your body in a particular place. And God, I'm asking for that anointing to destroy every yoke in their lives. Lord, that they will be willing to obey you, to follow you, and give us, Lord, a hunger for your word, a hunger to serve you as never before, to love you with a whole heart, and to be so filled with the Spirit of God that others will be drawn to us, who is Jesus, who's in us, the light of the world. Father, we love you. We thank you for our time together, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, it's been a privilege to share the Word of God with you. I invite you to write and share your prayer needs. The announcer will give our contact information, and if you email, if that's convenient for you, I will confirm receipt and pray. But if you'd like a personal letter, I invite you to share your mailing address. I love you, and until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,